Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's going down?
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon without any ads or on our main feed. My name's Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, how you doing? We've got less than 2 weeks now till WrestleMania.
Oh, I'm getting a bit excited, Kenny.
I mean, last night's Raw, which we will get to, got to be one of the best WrestleMania build episodes ever.
Yeah, well, it was really well done, actually. And
excitement, you know, Easter eggs, you know.
Yeah, just all sorts. And combined as well with what happened on SmackDown, you know, that was, you know, it's all just, and the thing I like about it as well is you think, wow, we need more matches. And actually by having fewer matches, particularly with the big players, it's actually better, isn't it? Because you're now looking forward to the matches more because you're not seeing them wrestle every week.
Yeah. I mean, also, less matches means we don't have to cover Karrion Kross, which is always good for us.
Well, exactly.
Ran out of material. Well, let's just dive into SmackDown first. So we opened the show with Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. We were told that Legado del Fantasma and the LW were banned from ringside. And Rey is, you know, looks like...
And they were, Kenny.
They were, yeah. But that would provide a loophole that we were not aware of, which is that when Ray's kind of got it in the bag and he's going for the West Coast pop, all of a sudden someone in a Lucha mask, a Ray mask, trips him up and he unmasks it's Dominic Mysterio, costing Ray, his dad, the match and allowing Santos Escobar to get the win, which, I mean, feels pretty obvious now that an 8-man tag is coming at WrestleMania, Ray Mysterio, Carlito and the LWO against Legado del Fantasma, Dominic, and Santos. So, what did you make of this? And I think Dominic being involved gives it a bit more heat than it would have had without him.
Yeah, it does. It does, yeah. I mean, I don't know where Andrade fits into all of this, because he's obviously been talking to the Judgment Day, and they were like, well, you know, we'll let's see what happens, and... But Andrade is a babyface, so why would he want to join Judgment Day? But then Dominic Mysterio, it's as if there's like, you know, a track record between those two. So I don't really know where that story is going, and I hope it does go somewhere. But yeah, you're right. Dominic appeared at ringside here in the Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar match. I actually thought the match was a bit of a disappointment, Kenny. I was expecting more from it. I think it should have been hotter, especially with another sellout crowd here in Milwaukee. And, you know, maybe they should have just tried to heat this feud up a bit before they gave us the match. And I'm glad that Rey didn't win here, because Santos needed this pinfall more than Rey needed the win here.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased there was an angle here, because if this had just been a straight match, I think it would have been a bit of a flop. But as it was, Dominic appeared at ringside in the Rey Mysterio mask. We knew immediately who it was. The audience knew who it was. He like tripped Rey, and then Santos won with the Phantom Driver. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm sure this is going to lead to a multi-person match at WrestleMania, which is, you know, a good gig for Santos and Rey and Dominic as well. Because, I mean, what else is he going to do on the show?
Yeah, and then also, you know, the thing that they are doing this year with WrestleMania, and I'm, you know, we've not really seen it done well before, so it's like you're hesitant to kind of give it praise because you don't know. But there's a lot of players who they seem to have around, and they're on TV deliberately for the purpose of setting up post-WrestleMania stuff. You know, like we've got Bron Breakker, who's basically ready to go, but they're not putting him on WrestleMania. Bronson Reed, who's a, you know, they're definitely putting more into ready for after WrestleMania. Tiffany Stratton, you know, there's all these names. So maybe Andrade is also of that ilk, and he's going to maybe, you know, play a part in that match of what side does he want to go on? If he's going to, he's kind of flirted with the Judgment Day a little bit on Raw.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe he'll be, you know, both sides will say, well, come on, Andrade, we need you on our team. It's like, well, I'm going to see what the other team's got to say. You know, what have they got to offer me? So maybe on the night he'll decide which team he's going to be a part of at WrestleMania. But you would think that Andrade would be part of that 8-man match, wouldn't you, at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Especially after his victory on Raw. So, and the crowd were really into him. We'll talk about Raw a little bit later, but Andrade did feel like he's, you know, he's already got the crowd support, and he hasn't, I mean, he's only been back since Royal Rumble, and they haven't really done that much with him, have they, so far?
No, he's kind of, people are okay with him, but he's not hugely over yet, but I think getting involved in this storyline would do better for him, you know, because he'd be involved in what's already going, so, and I think man tag at WrestleMania will also stop, you know, to your point about Rey and Santos feeling quite flat. I think when you get everybody in there, you know, they're all good workers. They're going to be able to put something together that's going to be exciting, I think, to watch on the night. So
yeah, and they're going, and it's really clever to have Dominic there, because he's, you know, he's the heat machine. He's the guy that everyone loves to boo. And when he's there opposite Rey, it's going to be, if, you know, say they put them this match on in like, you know, in a buffer spot after a mega match, Dom in there, it's still going to provoke a reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if he wasn't in the match, then it might have struggled. But Dominic will guarantee a response.
He will, he will. So elsewhere on SmackDown, obviously Stephen Bradley had, I think it was Stephen Bradley who had kind of told us, because we were a bit confused last week on what's going down about the SmackDown tag team situation with who goes into the ladder match. And then it was, I think I mentioned it on PowerSlam when we recorded.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Basically, there's a second tournament on SmackDown. So this week we had the OC against Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, where Austin Theory and Grayson Waller won. And then later on we had the Street Profits beating the Authors of Pain, which means that the Street Profits will face Waller and Theory this Friday, along with New Catch Republic against Umberto and Angel. But yeah, what did you make it? Did either of these tag matches stick out to you? It was interesting to see the Street Profits kind of play the babyface role again, which they've not done in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have been faces ever since they started this feud with the Final Testament. And
it's just a feud.
I was just so pleased to see the Authors of Pain lose, because I just don't want to see them on our screens anymore. There's so many people waiting for TV time that are more entertaining than these guys ever can be. And I just don't see the point of this act. It's just a waste of my life. So I'm really pleased that Street Profits won. I think it's a shame that the Profits have done, you know, so little since the match with Jimmy and Jay, right? Back in, when was that? Was that 2020?
Who?
2022. Yeah, they had that mega match in the summer, didn't they? And that's right, because then it led to the match at SummerSlam, didn't it, with Jeff Jarrett as the referee? That's correct. And the match was actually a little bit of a letdown, wasn't it? The rematch?
Oh, actually, wait a minute. I think it was 2021, because 2022 was the year where Orton and Riddle won the tag titles. So I think it was the year. So it was actually the year before where we had. No, it's not.
It's Jeff Jarrett was there as the ref, wasn't he? In the rematch. That would have been 2022, wouldn't it? It wasn't last year, obviously.
Oh yeah, you're right. So, sorry, I'm mistaken. The Orton Riddle thing was 2021, and yeah. I've just went round the roundabouts for no reason. So,
yes, exactly. Well, I've often done that, literally in my car. So, but I mean, Street Profits to me have just seemed a bit lost. No, they had obviously Montez had the injury, but they were so hot in 2022, and I would really like to see them. You know, people at that point were talking about Montez Ford being this huge singles player, and he's just so far away from that point. He's gone backwards, is what I'm basically saying, over the last 18 months. So hopefully they can. I think the Profits will be part of the match at WrestleMania, because you know Montez Ford is going to do something spectacular. And they deserve it. Give these guys a shot, that's what I say. But yeah, the matches were okay. I mean, they weren't meant to be, you know, that memorable, because it's now leading to more matches which they have to win in order to qualify for the match. The thing we were saying, as we said last week, was what we didn't get was that people were automatically qualifying for the match on Raw, but having to jump through more hoops to qualify on SmackDown. That was our point, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it didn't really make any sense. But, well, you know, we'll see this Friday with whoever, you know, goes forward and is in the match. We also had a very kind of well-shot angle where AJ Styles was being interviewed at home, and then there was a beeping outside of his house, and it was LA Knight who attacked him, and then we had body cam footage from like the police, and it added a little bit of sizzle to what otherwise was quite a cold feud. But yeah, I mean, AJ Styles looks humongous.
It's just so massive, isn't it? I mean, it was just like, it's like, that's his long-time Mrs. Wendy, that's her name, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And she just looked like mini. Like she just looked like a. I couldn't believe how small she looked next to him, and he's just massive. And I don't know why, Kenny, but I started having flashbacks to Brian Pillman and Steve Austin when this happened. I mean, it wasn't, you know, that those levels of like insanity. And I suppose we should be, on one hand, we should be grateful for that. But for some reason, I was like really moved to like revisit the Austin home invasion of the Pillman house. From 96, that would have been, wouldn't it? I mean, that was just, what an angle that was. Everyone was talking about that at the time. I mean, that was the talk of the industry for like days afterwards, after the angle took place. So, yeah. But yeah, I thought the Knight and Styles thing was, didn't last very long, but I think it served its purpose. Knight turning up at Styles' house, police, you know, rocking up. Knight was arrested, but then we found out later that Styles had refused to press charges, and I think they're going to confront each other this week on SmackDown, I believe. They're going to confront each other this week on SmackDown. So that makes sense, because we've only got two more SmackDowns before WrestleMania.
We do, yeah. So that was good. And then we also had we're kind of continuing this story. Oh, we did find out that Jade Cargill is signed with SmackDown. She's going to make her first appearance this Friday.
Yeah.
We also had kind of this continuing story of Bayley basically not wanting to trust Bianca not wanting to trust Bayley, given everything that's happened in the past.
Yeah.
Io Sky taking on Naomi in a non-title match, which Io Sky won. And then after the match, Bianca Belair came out to sort of even the odds, but Damage Control were able to take them down as well. So we're kind of building it towards this thing where Bianca's going to eventually have to kind of team with Bayley or get on the same side as Bayley. But
yeah,
I mean, it's still like at this point, right now, if you're going to WrestleMania, Io Sky and Bayley is probably the match you're going to go and get a drink. And that's a shame.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And Bianca was there. And it's weird how they've done this. And I really hope, you know, this is a big picture storyline. And there is they've already got an end game to all this. Because Bianca backstage earlier in the show was saying that everything Bayley had coming to her, she deserved. So, and which we all know is true, because, you know, Bayley was awful for ages, wasn't she? Was a bad person, and like usually faces forgive people once they've turned from heel to face. But Bianca's just, she was put through the mill by damage control for so long, she's not forgiving Bailey for anything at this point, and let her know here. And Bailey's there, kind of remorseful and not coming across very likable because Bianca's bringing up all this stuff that we know is true. And it is a bit weird, really. The whole approach to this has been really weird. And I think Bailey and Io are going to really struggle on the night. I just hope their match opens one of the shows because if it goes on halfway through the show, the crowd, as you say, they're either going to be, going to the, using the facilities, going to the bar or going out for a cigarette or whatever. They're not going to be interested in that match. So,
And especially
yeah.
if you end up adding in, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do this, but if because we assume they're either going to add in Kabuki Warriors defending the tag titles against Naomi and Bianca,
Yeah.
or they're going to add in maybe Bianca and Jade if Jade turns up this week and she's setting up a match, so that is possible. But either of those ones are probably going to have more heat than the Bailey match. And
Yeah, I don't think Jade's going to wrestle. It's too late in the day now because really the SmackDown the night before WrestleMania is usually a bit of a non-event, isn't it? Not a whole lot happens on that.
no, but I mean the thing is that I mean in terms of the Bailey's been doing media interviews, right? And of course she's gonna put over the storyline that she's in, but she's out there saying, you know, we should be main event in one of the nights, and it's like,
What?
on what planet? I mean, like, because there's a difference between it's like, you know, I said this before. I'm sure I said this to you before. Kevin Owens did an interview recently, like a couple of months ago, with Digital Spy, and they'd said, I think Stephanie Chase interviewed him, and Stephanie Chase said something like, "Oh, you know, Kevin, you know, you've main evented two WrestleManias, you know, because he headlined with Austin in 2022 and Sammy in 2023 against the Usos." And Kevin Owens just kind of chuckled and said, "But we know I didn't really main event WrestleMania. We know that the night two match is the main event." And it's like what he was doing there was kind of being so self-deprecating about himself,
Yeah.
sort of refusing the compliment. And I mean, Bailey's in a
Also,
spot.
that's true as well, isn't it?
Well, apart from this year, where this year the night one main event is just as big as the night two, but that's because it's got the Rock out.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big match, and it's like, and it just shows that Kevin Owens is very comfortable with where he's at in his career, and so he should be, because he's gone a hell of a lot further than most people thought he would go a decade ago. I mean, he's massively surpassed expectations in his career. I'm sure he never imagined that he'd be making seven figures, and good for him because he deserves it. But I mean, yeah, that was a very, tactful, I think, thing for Kevin Owens to say. It's like, well, listen, yeah, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, they were really the main event, weren't they? I mean, they were.
Whereas, you know, my point with Bailey is, she is in a tough spot where, you know, she's promoting the match and stuff, but for her, it's got to be tough because I assume if you have a level of self-awareness, you know when something's working and when it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, but you get the feeling that there's a kind of more collaborative environment where, you know, if there's ideas to be put around, they're open to hearing them. It's not a case of, you know, that's not the case, that's not allowed. So, yeah, I just. Even when Bailey won the Rumble, it was, oh well, you know, okay, we'll see where it goes. But the angles have just been executed in not a very exciting way. The beatdown the other week from Dakota Kai, that was quite dull. Yeah, I think they're going to really struggle on.
You know what this needed? Sasha Banks. That's what this storyline needed. If Sasha Banks had returned at Bayley's side, things would be different.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But then, you know, the thing is, like, you know, with Sasha or Mercedes, it's like, I do get why she's kind of, you know, they've said to her before, oh, you get this, you'll get that. And it's, you know, maybe the title.
Well, I don't blame her for doing what she's done. She's made a choice. All I'm saying is that if Sasha had returned to WWE to be with Bayley in this storyline, it would have given it a huge lift.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it would have just invigorated it for sure. And she hasn't. She's made the choice that she's made. I'm not questioning her decision. She had to do what was right for her. I'm just saying that this story would have greatly benefited from her involvement.
Yeah. Well, the last thing to talk about on SmackDown is, of course, the main event segment where Cody Rhodes was to turn up alone to speak to Roman Reigns. And they had a kind of big back and forth segment, which ended with, of course, Roman snapping his fingers and Solo and Jimmy appearing. And then Cody smiling and Jey Uso and Seth Rollins appearing. So that kind of closed the show. I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of, and I agree with it, saying this promo was okay, but it did kind of pale in comparison to a lot of the bigger stuff we've had recently. This is maybe more of a placeholder promo. What did you make of this one?
I mean, possibly, yeah, because we didn't get the big violent, you know, pull apart at the end, which, I mean, we had obviously Rock and Cody on Raw. We'll be talking about that in a moment. And I think we will get something else maybe either this Friday or Monday. I think we're going to have more. I'm not sure what it's going to be. They really need to do the contract signing segment, really, and have loads of security there. You know, that's the way to do it and just make it look enormous with like massive amounts of humanity there. I think that's what I would do if I was running the show. I mean, there was some good comments here, I think, from Cody. He said to Roman Reigns, can you trust your partner at WrestleMania? Can you trust The Rock? Cody asked if Roman was in charge or if the final boss was running the bloodline. So, and, you know, Reigns recoiled a little bit from that, scrunched his face up like he does. Reigns had said, you know, I'm number one forever. And Cody had said, I'm not number two, I'm the one. Then Cody wished Reigns luck at WrestleMania and offered him a handshake. And at that point, Reigns retreated to ringside, snapped his fingers, and Solo and Jimmy walked through the crowd. But of course, Cody was wise to the bloodline's deception, you know, their ruses, you know, their dodginess, their villainy, you know, their unscrupulous behavior. And he had installed Seth Rollins and Jey at ringside. So we just had the standoff at the end. So there wasn't a beat down. So yeah, maybe it wasn't as big as some of the other angles or confrontations they've done. But I think it did move things forward. And certainly the comments from Cody to Roman about, can you trust him? Because, you know, we think some things, you know, although after Raw this week, people are like, well, there's no way they can be in cahoots, Rock and Cody, after that. No way. But maybe they still are. I don't know. I just want to just quickly, Kenny, just to also mention on SmackDown, there was a Naomi versus Io Sky match. Thought it was kind of slow at the start, but it really did pick up towards the end. And fans were totally into this match. And I thought Naomi had a good night by the end of the match. And, you know, Sky won with the over-the-moon salt. And then we had, you know, this is after a distraction from damage control. And then Belair ran out to save Naomi from a post match beatdown from damage control. But damage control beat down Naomi and Belair after Asuka had misted Naomi. So, you know, they were trying to heat things up there, Kenny. We should just acknowledge that.
Yeah, they tried. Did they succeed? I don't know. But they tried. Okay, let's move over to Raw. And I feel like we should just talk about this all in one go. So basically, the show opened in Chicago and, you know, they sold more tickets and kind of minimized the set. So the set actually looked really good, being smaller for this one-off, which I think they're doing the same in Philadelphia in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, why not with the ticket prices now? That's a lot of money in the coffers, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So we opened the show with Cody Rhodes. He comes out, he talks about, you know, Roman Reigns on the Pat McAfee show and was kind of giving Pat some shit for that. And he talks about, you know, Roman Reigns, and he ends up sort of saying, what my favorite line was, you know, Cody said, I understand if Roman, you know, hates me because he and his cousin The Rock can't have their wank fest at WrestleMania. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day, Finn, where wank fest would be a word in a promo on Raw?
Well, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Because they had the holy shit chants and they were killing sound, you know, when the audience chanted shit. But I mean, in America, I've never quite been able to work as, and the Americans surely know what that means by now, but maybe they don't, because they didn't bleep it, did they?
Yeah, it's one of those weird things where I think that, yeah, in America you can say that, you can say wank all day long, they don't have a problem with it. But it's just, I mean, yeah, it's, I, but also it's funny because I've worked with Cody in the UK, so Cody knows what that means in the UK. He's well aware of like what he's doing there. So it was clever for him to kind of use a term that in America kind of flew under the radar, but to us over here, we kind of get the nod to it. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that has been used so many times on American programs that I've watched. That, I mean, I thought America was aware of what that means. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I must be, because if they were aware of what it meant, it would have been bleeped.
But yeah, so Cody's basically doing this promo, and he says that line. He said he respects Roman, but he hates his guts. And he sort of says, you know, I want you all to ride with me at WrestleMania. We're going to win that night one tag match. And then he's going to point. He starts pointing at the sign, and all of a sudden, The Rock's music hits, and The Rock comes out. And the crowd are just going insane.
Because this wasn't advertised, was it?
No advertisement. No, nobody had reported that he was there. This was a complete surprise. No, it had not gotten out anywhere. So Rock comes out, and then him and Cody are standing there. The fans are chatting, holy shit, like you said. And then Rock just says something to Cody, which is not on mic, and then leaves. And the fans are chanting, Rocky sucks. And, you know, Jackie Redmond gets a word with The Rock, says, you know, what did you say to Cody? And he said, ask Cody Rhodes. She asks Cody later, and he says, you know, I can't say, but it's not going to happen. And, I mean, it was kind of genius to have at this point The Rock not say anything, because that's kind of the best thing he could do to get heel heat that you could think of.
Yeah.
Robbing people of the promo. So that was kind of the beginning of the show, and I think a lot of people just figured The Rock's gone. You know, he's not going to be back.
Yeah.
And then the main event match of the show was Jey Uso against Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't think anybody was running down to William Hill and Ladbrokes to put money on Nakamura in this one.
No.
But Jey wins, of course, but during the match, Jimmy and Solo turned up, and then Cody and Seth came out to even the odds, and they all brawled away. And the cameras catch up with Cody and Jimmy. They're brawling backstage. Cody throws Jimmy at the back door of the arena. Solo's there. Cody's going after him. And then The Rock shows up and attacks Cody from behind. And then we get this kind of 5-minute beatdown angle of The Rock sort of battering Cody outside in the rain.
Yeah.
Him off his tour bus. And threatening to plunge him to his death at one point.
It was hilarious when they're backstage and Rock picked up what looked to be, you know, a clinically clean fake, you know, one of those fake dustbins that they use. Yep. And it had probably, like, you know, just been through, like, you know, this big massive, like, he was just smacked with the nicest looking dustbin I've ever seen, hit him with that. And then he went outside. And the only thing that was, you know, everyone's raving about this. The only thing that did concern me about it, Kenny, was Rock didn't seem to be moving very quickly. He did not seem to be very mobile.
No.
So I'm so pleased that it's a tag match on night one and that Rock is not in a singles match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, work the tag match, see how it goes, and get some reps back in build back up to it. But the whole thing here, Rock is beating the crap out of him. Cody gets color, and then Rock pulls out he pulls off a belt that he had underneath his top shirt the whole time, which says Mama Rhodes on it, and he smears the blood into that. Looks down the camera, is telling, you know, Cody's mum, you know, look what I'm going to do to him, look what I've done to him. And that's how we go off there. I mean, what an angle, Finn.
Yeah, and meanwhile on X, Brandi Rose is Knocking the Rock, Dustin Rhodes, who's there, I think, called Rock a son of a bitch on X. So, you know, they've got the family, you know, promoting it on X, you know, joining in. And, yeah, I mean, this was all Cody Rhodes just getting beaten up. And, you know, I think he must have bladed. I was thinking at first maybe they're using fake blood, but the blood kept coming out of his head. So presumably it looked like a blade job. It looked like blade blood with the colour of it. And it's like, wow, you know, they've been given special dispensation, presumably, to use the blade for the angle. So that was quite a moment in itself, isn't it? I can't remember the last time someone bladed in WWE with permission. I couldn't tell you when it was. With permission, oh. I presume, maybe, well, I know it was 2008 was when it was banned. I don't know whether it's happened since then when it's actually been allowed, because I think there's been either one or two examples of people doing it without permission and they were fined.
Yes.
Was it Batista or CM Punk? I can't remember who it was.
Batista in the cage match with Jericho.
That was it, yeah. Yeah, I believe he was fined heavily for that. But yeah, it was a hell of a beat down to Cody, really sold. The cameras in there, you know, going for all the close-ups, extreme close-up, and the blood's on the belt, and Rock's, you know, furthering that story that he brought up about how he was going to beat up Cody in front of his mother, and his blood's going to be everywhere. So, I mean, it's all, you know, real sort of simple stuff, but it's, you know, it's the story that we want them to tell. And
I did love the line near the end, because Rock was doing this kind of, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's he's just taken to heart the idea that people, you know, either didn't want him back in the role against Roman or whatever, but he's doing like the best work of his career. He is miles above everybody else in what he's doing. And, you know, he's saying, like, you know, it didn't have to be this way. This is what happens when you fuck with the final boss and all this kind of stuff. I mean, the night one main event literally does feel as big as night two. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, they've done an amazing job of building it up, and just with old school angles, and that's what this is.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously new characters. Well, Rock's a, you know, veteran, but it's done in a very new school way, but it's just old school wrestling booking, you know, with the beat downs and the person who's been beaten down really selling it, which is obviously what you're supposed to do in pro wrestling, although lots of people didn't get that memo and still don't seem to understand that if you actually sell, then things mean more. And Cody obviously gets it. And just with those close-ups of Rock just, you know, just being so menacing and villainous and just, you know, threatening and just like warning everybody that what's to come, it's only going to get worse for you type thing. It's all, what it's all doing is it's making us want to see Cody Rhodes win. That's the purpose of this, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I also wanted to ask you, Finn, about something that we didn't really get a chance to cover because it hadn't been reported yet by the time we recorded what's going down at PowerSlam on Thursday. So it was reported over the weekend, but it was in the Observer, WrestleVotes reported, all these places have basically said that there will be a role during WrestleMania this year for both John Cena and Steve Austin. And then during this beatdown segment, there was, I don't know if you clocked this, the image of when Rock was beating up Cody and there was a truck with Cena and Austin on it. And it was specifically the two of them. And WrestleVotes have come out since and sort of shown photos of their new trucks that they've got. And the one that was shown last night was not one of the new trucks. So it's leading people to believe that an Easter egg was potentially planted, which is not really something we've... Closest we've got to an Easter egg was Vince McMahon with that big egg for that movie 2 years ago, the Survivor Series, the big golden egg.
Yeah.
And that's the closest we've got. But would you be surprised to see Steve Austin and John Cena getting involved in this?
Yes, I would, because they're not needed. And I think it would just overcomplicate things and just be a unnecessary distraction from something that's been brilliantly prepared. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to SmackDown this Friday and Raw next week to see how they're going to follow this one up. Probably lots of gloating from the Bloodline members, I would imagine. And I would think there's going to be some show of force from Cody and Rollins next week on Raw somehow. as I said earlier, in the maybe they do a contract signing, and that's the time for Cody and Rollins to just send the heels, not to beat them down, but to just show the heels that they mean business, you know, because the real beatdown needs to occur actually on night two, not night one, because I think Rock and Roman are going to win on night one to lead to Bloodline Rules, a very different match then on night two to what we got at WrestleMania last year between Reigns and Rhodes. So a very different match. You can have Rock getting involved, doing the stuff, Mama Rhodes stuff, and then, you know, Cody presumably wins. But yeah, how do Austin and Cena fit into all this? I mean, yeah, you could have them there in sort of cameo roles, and I mean, I suppose it would be a cheap pop, but how would it? I think there's enough people. There's going to be enough people involved in this as it is, without adding any further elements. Because you would think that Jay and Jimmy and Solo are going to be involved as well. Presume on night two, if it's Bloodline Rules, maybe Austin will come out and, you know, give Rock a stunner. I don't know. And yeah, I mean, I suppose that would get a pop. But do they really need to do that? I don't think they do.
In terms of the numbers, I mean, I would love if they can make it work in a way that fits the story on the night, then great. I mean, there is kind of a thing where if Seth Rollins loses the title on night two, as we think he's going to,
yeah,
he's kind of out of the running to come and help in that main event. He's out of the picture. So you've kind of got Jey Uso on one side, and then the help on the other side, you've got Jimmy, Solo, and The Rock.
Yeah.
So it's quite lopsided. So there's various things that you could probably do. I mean, you could have people who the Bloodline have wronged come out to sort of even the score, or maybe it is Austin or whatever, but I think you are going to get something like that, because I think people are want this to be bells and whistles, and, you know, there's no way Cody's going to take down everybody on his own. So he is going to need some help, but it's just how they do it. I'm open to it as long as it's done well. You know, if it's done well, great. Yeah. But it's evidence in the execution. Because I always remember that match. I said this on Twitter, actually, or X, that, you know, that Hell in a Cell match with Undertaker and Shane at 32.
Yeah.
It's like, that should have been bells and whistles out its tits. It should have been, you know, so much sports entertainment you could barely breathe.
Well, especially in a match of that length, because it just went on and on, didn't it?
Yeah, but there was nothing. There was actually nothing. And you know, you're sitting there and you're going, on what planet is it believable that Undertaker couldn't, it took him 30 minutes to beat Shane McMahon?
Exactly. All I remember about that match is the table bump. That's all, yeah. I remember. That's the only thing I remember about that match. I just thought it was just interminable.
Yeah, and it was terrible. So, but I think because with Cody and Roman, I think there is something to do, especially with, you know, they're building up Rock as the final boss and he's going to be a factor. And also it feels like with him, the double agent thing doesn't feel like it's really happening anymore. Like, you know, I think some of us thought maybe Rock on the night at WrestleMania is going to turn on Roman, but I don't see that happening now. It almost feels like this beatdown on Cody was so severe that Rock is going to be a heel for a while.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he is. Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. But there was lots of other stuff on Raw.
I mean, just to mention about Cena, the problem with Cena is that everything he's done recently has been absurd. I mean, it's like, this is going to be a serious match. And if he comes out, you know, bumbling about, it's just going to ruin the atmosphere.
The only good thing with Cena, and you know I'm very rarely do I want to advocate for a Cena appearance. In fact, never. If you were to say to me, Kenny, you're getting married, John Cena can appear, I'd say no thanks. You're not welcome, John. Don't come. But he, you know, he was humbled by Solo Sikoa at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, he was.
The story's there, but yeah, to your point, it's like, so say for example Austin did come out and, you know, say you had somebody else, say Sammy came out at one point or something and Cena was there. If Sammy came out or Austin came out, they're gonna add this sort of seriousness to it and this gravitas, which is how they are. Cena has to bring that as well, if he's there. This can't be
Pantomime Dame
Oscar naked Cena. Like, this needs to be a bit more elevated. But then, do you know what? I do feel like if he was involved with Austin, he would be sort of forced to up his game a little bit.
Yeah.
Because by default, it's like, he would just look so inept next to Austin. Maybe he would anyway, but you know, particularly. But
anyway. I mean, in some ways, I'm sure there's people thinking, well, hopefully it'll come out and then, you know, Finlay can have a rant. It's good mileage for the podcast. So, yeah.
I hope he does just for that. You were 10 minutes and I was just laying into Cena.
Yeah. I mean, you know, also, you know, there's a serious side to this as well is, you know, the Howard Stern business with Cena, you know, I've written about that in the next issue of Inside the Ropes magazine, which is out this Thursday. And, you know, I've put him straight, you know, I've had a go at him over that and rightly so. So,
Deserve.
You know what I mean? So, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I understand why Cena, because obviously Roman beat him at SummerSlam 2021. So he would have a reason to get involved. You know, Austin's got the, you know, long-running feud with The Rock, so...
He retired him.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's mileage in that. I think it would be nice, I think, if Sami Zayn and even Kevin Owens were involved briefly because they all had history with the Bloodline. So, I mean, that, I think, also would work very well. So, I can imagine that a lot of these things would work well on the night. And you're right, if Rollins loses to Drew McIntyre and, you know, they do an injury angle or something, which they may well do, actually, to explain him not being able to help Cody Rhodes in the main event. And, you know, and that also, you know, ramps up the sense of drama and odds against the hero. And, you know, can Cody, you know, overcome insurmountable odds type storyline, which is, you know, what this whole thing is building to. Then, you know, these unexpected run-ins from people who've been wronged by the Bloodline, that would all work very well on the night.
I think as long as it's done in a way that, you know, everybody who comes out on the good and the bad side, it leads to everybody's out of the picture. It's just down to Cody and Rome.
Yes.
And that's how... Because I mean, ultimately that is the whole story of the Bloodline, is that he has won all these times because he's always had people, you know, backing him. And... I mean, the other thing that to me is a pretty obvious thing that some people don't seem to be picking up on is, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Roman's being overshadowed by The Rock right now. And he absolutely is. But to me, that seems to be deliberate for a future story. It's not a case of them just going, right, Rock, you just be the biggest star going and Roman's just no longer, doesn't mean anything anymore. It feels like they're planting stuff for Roman and Rock down the line.
Oh, yeah. And I think also on the night, because we know Roman's going to do 80% of the physical work in that tag match, because especially after, you know, seeing Rock and Raw last night, and you know the angle with Jinder, remember when he was blown up after what was it, 60 seconds or whatever it was, you know, Roman's going to be the star. Rock's obviously going to work the crowd, and he'll do his shtick and it'll go down a storm, I'm sure, but I think Roman Reigns is going to do the majority of the in-ring physical work in that tag match. And obviously, it's going to be Roman Cody on night two. Rock will be there, but this will be the Roman show. So in a way, I think Rock needs to shine now because he's going to be outshone on nights one and nights two and night two of WrestleMania.
Yeah. So I think that there needs to be, and Roman is going to be on Raw next week with The Rock. So, you know, we're going to have that. But yeah, I think the thing with the truck to me felt like it wasn't a coincidence. Because it wasn't like it was a truck where there was multiple people on it and Austin and Cena just happened to be the two. There were like two of like five. It was just them. And it was an older looking truck. So it was... But, you know, I'm a fan of it. If this is going forward, we're going to get Easter egg type stuff or hints of stuff that's coming and then we get it, then great. You know, we used to wish for stuff like that. So...
Yeah, we definitely did. It's more like the layered booking, isn't it? Where they're giving us, you know, it's that when you watch a really good TV show and you'd be like, wow, you know, you get to the end of a series and you're like, oh, that, you know, that harks back to that in episode two or whatever. And it all works. Then you'll see a show that's not written as well and it's got all these loose ends that are not tied up and you sit there annoyed. Well, why didn't you do this? And what happened to this person? And, you know, what about these people who were a big deal in like four episodes ago and now have just suddenly vanished? I mean, with WWE now, you do feel like it's all going to be, you know, all these loose ends are going to be tied up. And it's, you get the impression that everything is done for a reason, don't you? That's the point I'm making.
Elsewhere, we had another segment that has got people talking. with CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins. And this was wild, Finn. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, you know, usually I try and recap stuff. I'm just going to come to you first. Thoughts on this?
I mean, yeah, it just sounded like they almost just said, right, just go out there. And they must have had an understanding of where they were going with the whole thing, because there was various points where stuff had been set up in advance. But I think they had almost been given, like, free reign to just say whatever they want. And, like, you know, like CM Punk said, you know, he listens to the experience and the drive-through. Just like, wow. He's like, well, you know, Jim Cornette's always been a huge fan of CM Punk. And, and that confirms, you know, the feeling is mutual. So CM Punk was there reciprocating and putting Jim Cornette over. So that just cracked me up. And, you know, Drew McIntyre interrupted Punk. And then they got talking about the Chosen One. And Punk said to Drew, what paragon of good virtue chose you? That was the line of the night.
He said, I dare you to have the balls to name him. And Drew's sitting there going, oh, fuck. And then there's a bit of, because the thing was, the whole thing was meant to get us to the point where Punk's first, then Drew comes out, then yeah. Rollins comes out. And the whole end point is going to be that Punk would be the guest commentator at WrestleMania.
Well, he did toy with the idea of him becoming the referee, and he actually got down on the mat and counted three, didn't he, to prove that his arm worked. Or was
yeah, well, that was the problem, because after that, we just wanted him as the referee. We didn't want him as a commentator. And, like, you could tell that because he had mentioned at the beginning, oh, you know, some people are saying I should be a referee. It's like, well, don't mention that as the first thing if you're then going to say commentate afterwards. And then when Rollins kind of said, oh, you know, that's his bad arm, and he counts with it, you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, what are you doing? Like,
can you imagine if the paragon of good virtue did choose Drew McIntyre had been backstage at that moment?
Oh my
god. Be like a mushroom cloud would have appeared.
But then Punk counts to three, and then he realizes that the fans want me to be the referee, I need to recover this. And he goes, oh, sorry guys, I can't be the referee because, you know, I couldn't be impartial in front of these two dipshits. And then Drew just says with his feet up in the announce table, PG brother. Like, it was just mental, but
it was. I mean, it was just crackling with tension. And what was hilarious was Michael Cole and Pat McAfee were there, and like they were like, "Oh my god, this is threatening to turn a bit nasty for real." You know, we all remember what happened with like Punk and Hangman Page. You know, hopefully it doesn't go in that direction, and. Yeah, it just seemed almost like quite a dangerous segment, didn't it? You know, with the stuff they were saying, they were entering some very choppy waters, shall we say.
My God, yeah. I mean, the other thing, because I saw some people say, I mean, there's, you know, I think everybody just kind of enjoyed the madness of the segment.
Yeah.
But some people can say, well, you know, it detracts from the Drew and Seth thing. I didn't think it did at all. I thought it added to it.
Of course it doesn't. Who would say that? My God.
Because the whole thing is, like, Punk being involved here, as well as him... Punk, it's not like Punk's just come out and said, I'm going to sit ringside. He was the guy who was supposed to face Rollins at WrestleMania. He's the guy who's injured by Drew. And he's the guy who's going to face one or both of them when he gets back. So, you know, to me, it makes perfect sense. It gets Punk out there at WrestleMania.
And this was in Rosemont, Illinois. This TV taping was probably going to sell out anyway. But, I mean, you can be sure that a lot of people in attendance were there to see CM Punk, and they wanted to see him do something on this show. And did he ever? You know, I bet everyone, or pretty much everyone who left that venue, felt like they got value for money that night from this crazy segment that was totally unpredictable. And it was crackling with tension. You know, a three-way thing. And this sets up a great triple threat match at wherever, SummerSlam or sometime in the autumn. I mean, it's already set up. They don't need to do anything else to set it up, do they?
And then you've also got stuff like, you know, he teased things that could happen. He teased him and Roman. He teased him and The Rock. But there's all this stuff that was kind of put in there. And I mean, what was good about it was it wasn't just CM Punk saying things and everybody else just sitting about like a spare prick. It was everybody got good lines in. You know, Drew got some good zingers in on Punk. He sort of said, you know, you're straight edge, you don't drink alcohol, take drugs, but you always end up in rehab.
Yeah, that was a good line.
And then, but I mean, Punk did get a great thing when Drew showed his shirt, and Punk said, "I've never need to put another man's name on a shirt to sell it." You're right. The tension was just there the whole time, and my hope is that the three of them just kind of went, right, you know, we can say what we want, but when we come back, we know it was done with a sort of professional courtesy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Punk was just on fire before he, you know, in his like signing off statement, he's like, "I'm gonna do on commentary what you couldn't do, your wife couldn't do," and people are like, "This is to Rollins," and people are like, "What this is what you couldn't do, blah 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 blah. I'm gonna make you both interesting." And then he like that was, you know, that was his parting shot to Rollins and Drew, and then he walked off and his music played, and then Drew said, "Turn that music off. It's not ending like this." And it just felt spontaneous. Of course, it wasn't, but it felt like it was. And that's what we want to see and hear when we're watching pro wrestling, isn't it? This unpredictable, you know, segments between people who we think might be going off script. We don't want them to go off script. We don't want big blow-ups backstage because they're bad for business, as we saw with Punk and Hangman Page in AEW. It doesn't work. It's just, you know, it's just the wrong thing to happen. But when you've got three professionals out there who've got an understanding, know what they're doing, know what the point of this segment is, you know, then you can go out there and as long as you don't cross certain lines, then it's all good for business. And I bet backstage afterwards, I bet they were all cracking up. I bet they were just like, "Wow, I can't believe you said this. Did you hear the crowd reaction when you said that?" And I bet that was the response backstage between the three of them. And this was one of the best segments I've seen in a very long time. And we've seen a lot of really good segments this year from the Bloodline, you know, The Rock. You know, and even
This is
between.
the best thing Punk's done since he came back to WWE by a mile.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say that, you know, I thought, you know, when Punk and Rollins first went head to head, that was really good as well. And like people were like, "Well, it should have been better." It's like, well, they were trying to leave something for a later date when they were going to be hyping up the match, which of course then didn't happen because he suffered the triceps injury. But you know, this has set up loads of stuff for later in the year. And again, going back to what I said earlier, Ken, it's like you've got a lot of layers here, and stuff's all been built up. It's like watching, you know, it's like almost densely plotted, I guess you would call it. And it's the way it should be in the modern era because the talent want to do this type of thing. They don't want to do just basic stuff. They want wrestling to be better, and they want to look back, you know, in years to come when the you know, either were part-timers or retired and say, "Yeah, that segment was, you know, that's a segment that they're going to show people in wrestling school. That's the segment that people are going to be talking about in 5 years' time." You know, and that's what you want to, you can't do that every week, of course, but that's something that you want to do at least occasionally.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It was an all-timer segment, and yeah, just top tier. Obviously, we can't go through everything that happened on Raw because we're only here for so long. But we also had Rhea Ripley coming out with Dom, and she talks about she's not getting enough attention. And then Becky Lynch comes out. She's quite funny. She pointed at a sign saying "Buy her book" because her new book is out, the autobiography. And they have this kind of back and forth where Becky says, "You know, you don't even wrestle on Raw anymore. You just come and you wait for me to wrestle a 20-minute match, and then you come and confront me." And then Rhea says that, you know, why would I compete before the biggest match of my career? And she obviously had done the stink face video over the weekend at a house show. So she said, "I can just post a video or a photo online and watch these freaks eat it up." And Becky's kind of like, you know, annoyed that that's her attitude. And it all culminates when Rhea said, "You know, you're going to lose at WrestleMania, but I'm going to let you stay alive after it because I want you to sit next to your daughter and watch her reference me as mommy." And then a chant breaks out, and Becky does this very impassioned speech about the fact that her dad died before he ever got to meet his granddaughter, and you know, it's not a joke to her. And you know, they have this back and forth, and then eventually Dom gets involved. So Becky just whacks him with one of these punches that's like a slow mo that you can see face jowls jiggle and stuff. Just
It was hilarious. That was so funny. I just showed it later on slow motion in replay. She like obviously made contact with the punch, And Dom just sold it. It was just hilarious, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. And then that starts the big brawl with Rhea and Becky. That's the first time they've got physical. They're being pulled apart by referees. They're just kind of can't wait to get to each other. I mean, this was another one. It was just an all-timer sort of classic build type segment. And when you look at this compared to Bailey and Io that we looked at earlier, it's on a different hemisphere.
It is, yeah, it is. It is. I don't know what it is, but something really striking about the contrast in the hair color between them. I don't know why. Oh, because, Rhea Ripley's got the black hair and Becky Lynch has got that really bright red hair now. And it just looks amazing when, and obviously they're both, stunning women. And they're just like, and you've got very different images. I don't know what it is, but it's because they're both superstars. That's what it is. And they both know what they're doing, and they've got the presence and the aura, and we know who they are, and blah, blah, blah. We know the characters. And, but yeah, this was, yeah, a really good segment. And again, Dominic Mysterio, I mean, an unsung hero on so many levels. And he was really important to the success of this segment. He squared up to Becky, but of course, in WWE, men cannot lay their hands on women. Those are the rules there, unless it's Nia Jax, of course, when she was in the Royal Rumble. But generally, anyway. And then Becky throws this punch, and it was just hilarious how Dom sold it. And then Rhea's really furious, and that leads to scrap. And then Rhea plants Becky in the corner, and then they go to leave. And then Lynch attacks Rhea at ringside, and it continues. Yeah, we wait a long time for this. This pull apart. So, it needed to happen either this week or next week at the very latest, because there's only one more Raw before WrestleMania. So I was expecting something like this here. And yeah, I think it was really well done.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. And even the fact that Dominic, you said it earlier about them introducing him into the kind of LWO Legado storyline, and it's like you could have put him in everything, and it feels a bit more exciting because he's involved. So,
Yeah,
and that him
that's
just taking
it.
that punch was perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And because he's where he's at in his career and he's not a top guy, it's totally fine for him to take the punch and to sell it and get, because Becky then beat him up at ringside as well, didn't she? And Dominic doesn't, he's not buried or, he's not, there's no damage to his character as a result of this, because Becky's higher on the pecking order than he is, and that's his role, to get beaten up, isn't it? And to be thrown out by the referee when he cheats. That's the gig that he plays, and he plays it very well.
And then we had Sami Zayn bump into Chad Gable backstage, and Chad kind of wants to make amends for last week, and Sammy's like, no, it's fine, you said what you said. And he's like, well, no, wait a minute, it's not I said what I said, I'm trying to get through to you that Gunther's winning. He's you're thinking about him and about not being able to beat him, but you've got Bronson Reed tonight, you're not thinking about that, you need to think about what's in front of you, get your head out of your ass, and that's what you're gonna need to do to beat him. And Sami Zayn kind of said he appreciated that, and that led us into Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed, where ultimately Gunther came out and sort of distracted Sammy, which allowed Bronson Reed to win and beat Sami Zayn, which kind of plays into the story of, because Sammy then approaches Chad Gable backstage, and Sammy sort of said he knew what Gunther was doing, but he still ended up letting him in. And Gable's trying to say, this is what he wants, this is what he's trying to do, you need to take a different approach, and we could talk about it. So a lot of stuff to unpack there. But I mean, 3 4 years ago, you would never have seen the IC title challenger losing a match to somebody 10 days before like this for a storyline reason.
Yes, but
It's different.
especially someone like Bronson Reed, who's really done nothing for a long time, has he? I mean, he's far beneath Sami Zayn. I mean, Bronson Reed probably won't even be on the WrestleMania show unless he's in some battle royal or something like that. I mean, he hasn't been announced for a match yet, has he, as far as I know?
No.
But I mean, yeah, earlier in the show, Gunter was interviewed backstage, and he said that Sami Zayn couldn't beat him or Bronson Reed. So Gunter had predicted this. He predicted that Zayn was going to lose this match to Bronson Reed on Raw. And Zayn, Reed was nose was busted open, so we had some blood there as well. And Sammy basically had the match in the bag, and then Gunter came out to distract him. And then Reed got this win after this tsunami, and it was just like, there was no indecisiveness here at all. This was a Reed 1-2-3 pin. There was no kick out at the last second or kick out on three by Zayn. Reed won this match. And then afterwards, Zayn's there distraught. It's like, what's happened? You know, I've fallen into his trap here. You know, he's got me beat in the, you know, emotional, the psychological game. And Chad's like, well, yeah. And it kind of feels very late in the game now for Chad to start training Sammy. That's the only thing about this because it feels like that's the way it's going to go, isn't it? That Sammy is going to listen to Chad and Chad's going to train him for the match. But I mean, WrestleMania's only like a week on Saturday, Sunday, isn't it? So it isn't very long to train him to beat this unstoppable Gunter. But yeah, you got a lot going on here. I mean, we were obviously disappointed when Chad wasn't the one who was going to face Gunter at WrestleMania. But at least Gable's got a big role in this storyline. I don't know where it's going to go. Usually I can predict where things are going to go, but I haven't got a clue what's going to happen here.
No, me neither. I just have no idea. But I mean, hopefully there is a good plan.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've said it before. I don't think Zayn should be the one to defeat Gunter. I think that just would be... I just feel like, you know, we're pretty sure that Cody's going to become champ. So that's going to be the big babyface win. And it just doesn't feel like it's the right time for Gunter to lose the belt. And to me, I think he can lose it to Chad, but not Sammy. I don't think Sammy deserves, you know, what could be like a, you know, career maker or a career enhancing win. And Zayn's already there. He can be enhanced by the storylines. And I think, hopefully, or at least I hope, that this story that he's in at the moment is going to be a career enhancer for him on some level. Well, I'm not quite sure how, but I think I'm really hoping it is.
Yeah, I think I don't want Sammy to win it only because I just don't feel like the story's there. I mean, if they can come up with it in less than 2 weeks, great, but I don't think they can. But the Gable thing is intriguing because he's obviously involved somehow in this because he's continuously in the segments. They've put Otis away with Tozawa on NXT this week to sort of fight for the idea to be in a stand and deliver match. So, you know, he's involved in this. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and he's away from Tozawa and Otis. So, you know, and we're supposed to treat Chad seriously. He's not doing the comedy at the moment, is he? And nor should he, because he's involved in this IC title business, which is a serious business.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's everything. That's all the time we've got for today. Unless there's anything you want to give a last passing mention to before we go?
I think the only other good thing was, you know, and this kind of was in the overall scheme of things, this seems quite minor, but I really like what they're doing with this Candice LeRae storyline. Uh-huh. And, you know, she cheated to defeat Ivy Nile. You know, Indy Hartwell was at ringside and she's upset that Candice is cheating, and Candice won. She pinned Nile with her feet on the ropes. And it feels to me like finally this is going somewhere. And, you know, Candice LeRae, I think, is a real talent. And I think she's actually shown us more in terms of personality in the last 3 weeks than we had seen from her in her entire previous time on the main roster. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that, even though in the overall scheme of things, it seems kind of minor. But what I liked about Raw is it just seemed like almost everyone contributed something to this show, even if it was only in a very short match.
Well, yeah, I think it's a kind of underneath thing, but it is still good to see the cancellery thing starting to be fleshed out. I think they got a little bit less time because of the Punk Rollins and McIntyre segment going quite long, but
yeah, I'm sure they did.
They probably didn't need any more time on this show, you know. I think
they had plenty of time to do what they needed to do, which was Candice to win another tainted win over Ivy Nile, and you know, this story, and hopefully Indy Hartwell will do the heel turn as well. And you know, it was better than the usual women's tag stuff, which is doesn't usually have that much creative attention. And this feels like it's going somewhere, Kenny.
Yeah, and that's all we can ask for. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's funny, as we were recording this, I checked my Twitter, my ex, and Tom had said, "Can't wait for What's Going Down to come out after a fantastic episode of Raw." So hopefully, Tom, we have done you proud with this one. So yeah, thank you so much for all your support, everybody. We'll be back on Thursday with Power Slam, and God knows what will happen by then, Finn. Who knows? At this point, I mean, we're not even finished the first quarter of the year yet. So,
Yeah. Yeah, it's been you're right. Yeah, April 1st on Monday, isn't it? So it's still March, but it just feels like wow, with so much has happened and yeah, it's an exciting time to be a fan. It feels like there's a lot of good things happening and what's more, what's great about now, and I'll just say this and I'll shut up, Kenny. What's great about now is in many previous years, we've been worried about what was going to happen in WWE after WrestleMania. And you're thinking, oh God, it's going to be the post WrestleMania lull. It's just going to be a desert. It's going to be barren creatively. And it just feels like they've set so much stuff up for post WrestleMania. And that's the other thing that I'm really excited about, beyond a week on Sunday.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments, and I never really thought there'd be another kind of boom period in wrestling. I just didn't think it was going to happen again. So to see, WWE doing so well and all these sellouts, and see, a profitable number two with AEW and all that stuff going on, it's exciting. It's so much better than the dark days where it was WWE and TNA, and that was it.
Oh God, yeah.
But yeah, thank you for all your support, everybody, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.